You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Here, you'll find answers to your questions about the Christian faith, the Bible, and trends in the church today. At the Christian Research Institute, we do what we do because truth matters. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and I would be remiss if I did not start today's broadcast with the immortal message that is given to us in the panoply of Scripture. And the reason it's so important is no one gets out of this world alive. So, without the shadow of a doubt, the most important question you could ever ask yourself is, what must I do to be saved? In fact, the Bible was written so that you might know that you have everlasting life. According to Scripture, you need to realize that you're a sinner. If you don't realize that you are a sinner, you will not recognize your need for a Savior. And all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then you must repent of your sins. This is an old English word, but it describes a willingness to turn from our sin towards Jesus Christ. It literally means a complete U-turn on the road of life. It's a change of heart. It's a change of mind. It is a change of the will. It means that you are willing to follow Jesus and to receive Him as Savior and Lord. Jesus Himself said this. He said, repent and believe the good news. To demonstrate true belief means to be willing to receive. To truly receive is to trust in and depend on Jesus Christ alone, to be the Lord of your life and your Savior for all eternity. It takes more than knowledge. I mean, the devil knows about Jesus and he trembles. It takes more than agreement that the knowledge you have is accurate. The devil agrees that Jesus is Lord. What it takes is to trust in Jesus Christ alone for everlasting life. The requirements for everlasting life are based not on what you can do, but on what Jesus Christ has done for you. He stands ready to exchange His perfection for your imperfection. And according to Jesus, those who realize that they are sinners, repent of their sin, and receive Him as Savior and Lord are born again, not physically, but spiritually. The reality of our salvation is not dependent upon our feelings, but rather on the promise of a Savior who says, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has everlasting life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. And again, I begin the broadcast this way for a reason. We are a discernment ministry, oftentimes a ministry labeled as an apologetics ministry. Apologetics is to defend the faith. But always remember that your well-chosen words, your defense of the faith, is not to win an argument. Ultimately, it is to win a person, to reach those who are yet in the land of the living with a truth and grace and goodness that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. A lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to our phone callers. Talk first to Mary in Topeka, Kansas. She's listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Mary.
Hello, Hank.
How are you?
I'm fabulous. My question is, I wanted to know why Christ had to die such a horrific death to pay for our sins.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to wrap my head around that.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, it is hard. And in fact, you know, His death on the cross is actually affixed to the word excruciating, because excruciating means literally out of the cross. And on the cross, Christ suffered more than any human being, more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humankind, because Christ, for His own will and purposes, wanted to reconcile you and I to Himself, which is the ultimate mystery. Why would God want a relationship with me? I can't fathom it, but I believe it because the Bible not only communicates it, but the death of Jesus Christ, a horrifying death, codifies his love for me in a way that nothing else could. Jesus was willing to lie in the pool of his own blood, prostrate before that which he created, so that we could be reconciled to him for time and for eternity. So I thank God, not only that one day I will know him in an intimate, personal, physical sense, but in the meantime, I can develop my relationship with him by reading the Word of God, by spending time with him in prayer that develops intimacy, by being a member of a healthy, well-balanced church, and by communicating to the world what I believe and why I believe what I believe, so that the death of Jesus Christ can be appropriated to those who reach out their hearts to the living Lamb, the one who not only died but rose, so that we too will rise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible.
The other thing I wanted to ask was, how do you know that you're saved? Because I've tried to do all the things which you know that you should, but there's still that fear that you might not be.
Well, Mary, here's what I was communicating at the opening of the show. Three words. You need to realize that you're a sinner. Do you?
Yes.
You need to be willing to turn from sin with God's help, which means that you want to do it his way as opposed to doing it your own way.
Yes.
It doesn't mean you're perfect, by the way, or ever will
right.
be perfect. It means that you want...
You do things you know are wrong, and you still will do them.
Well, it puts you in good company.
So,
because the Apostle Paul says that very thing. I mean, if you turn to Romans chapter 7, you will see that Paul says, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. And then he says, for what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I don't want to do, this I keep on doing. So he's talking about the powerful lure of sin in his life. But if you realize that you're a sinner, if you are willing to turn from sin with God's help and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, it doesn't mean that you're suddenly perfect, but it does mean that you are covered by the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, and therefore positionally declared as righteous before God. And then the one who saves you is going to start to change you from the inside out. It's called sanctification, daily being conformed to the image of God. And one day in eternity, you will be in practice what you are only now in position. In other words, you will be completely holy, no longer have sin, because the Bible says nothing impure will enter the New Jerusalem, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, based on his promise, if you say, I realize I'm a sinner, I repent of my sin and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you are his and he is yours. And now what you do is you visibly identify with the body of Christ through baptism, which doesn't save you, but it is an outward expression of identification with the body of Christ in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and ultimately in his ascension as well. And then you partake within the context of a church of the means of grace that God provides to each one of us. So if you realize you're a sinner, repent of your sin, and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, you can know that you know that you know that you are saved.
Well, thank you so much for answering that. It's not something I want to take for granted, and it just really means everything to me. So, God bless. You have a good evening.
God bless you as well. And as I leave you, I want to leave you with these words from our Savior. I quoted them earlier. Let me quote them again. I tell you the truth. This is Jesus speaking. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. It's not something that happens in the future. You now have everlasting life as a present reality. And the ultimate ramifications of that will be seen in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And that's what we long for. We know that we will rise like our Lord. That is the hope of the believer. We're not Platonic, we're physical. We believe in the physical resurrection of the dead. And that's what sets us apart as Christians. We will rise. We will live again. That was the hope of Job, perhaps the oldest book in the Bible, saying, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And though my skin be destroyed, yet I will again stand upon the earth. He believed in resurrection, though he could only see it through types and shadows. We can look back at the resurrection of Christ, and we know it is a certainty historically. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk next to Micah, listening in Gardner, Kansas, KCCV. Hi, Gardner. Hi, Micah.
Hello. That's all right. You can call me Gardner.
It's a senior moment. You know, it happens every now and then.
Well, thanks for taking my call, Hank. The Jews believe Jesus was and is not the Messiah because he did not fulfill several things, but they also declare that he was a false prophet because his prophecies were not fulfilled. One in particular is that, and I'm asking about the time that Christ returned to heaven in front of his disciples, the ascension. He tells his disciples that he will return within their generation, and the Jews use this particular quote of Christ to say, you know, that was not fulfilled. He did not return during the disciples' generation. So how do we justify the Jews in this particular quote and instance that Christ really is the Messiah and that he did fulfill his prophecies?
Well, it's a good question, and I think Jews in particular, those who study the Old Testament as well as studying other ancient literature associated with the Old Testament, including the Apocrypha, where you can read Maccabees and Freedom for the Jews under Judas Maccabeus, have a particular interest in the words of Jesus Christ if they can read those words in a proper context. Because what is interesting is that Jesus is the heir to the linguistic riches of the Old Testament prophets, and he's a greater prophet than them all. And he uses the language of the Old Testament prophets, and he applies that language to the destruction of Jerusalem. And that's where the problem lies. When the average person who is not a believer reads Matthew 24, after they have read what happened in Matthew 23, the seven woes that Christ pronounces on Jerusalem and its temple, and on those who are more interested in their tradition than in truth, then he answers a question for his disciples. That question is, when will he come? And that coming is not coming with respect to second coming, although the Bible deals with that as well. But in context, that coming has to do with his coming in judgment. In other words, Jesus has predicted that the temple in Jerusalem would be destroyed. And he says, immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. And so what happens is people say, wow, when have the stars fallen from the sky? When has the sun been darkened? When has the moon not given its light? Obviously, that is yet future, but they are horribly mistaken. A Jewish person that's read the Old Testament immediately recognizes, wow, I've heard that before. That is very common language used in the Old Testament. In fact, if you go to Isaiah, you will see that exact same language being used when the Medes and the Persians put out the light of the glories of the Babylonian kingdom. So now Jesus takes that judgment language and applies it to the destruction of Jerusalem, which will take place in a generation. So the skeptic says, well, Jesus didn't come back in a generation, and fails to recognize that Jesus is predicting his coming in judgment. And that is so clear because the context proves it. Jesus has left the temple, and he's walking away, and his disciples come up to him and call his attention to its buildings. And he says, do you see all these things? I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. And then as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, sometime later, the disciples come to him privately and they say, tell us, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age of sacrifice? In other words, he's talking not about the end of the world. He's talking about the end of the age of sacrifice. He's talking about the end when the temple is destroyed. He's not talking about the end of the cosmos. So it requires context. It requires learning how to mine the Bible for all its wealth. And to help you do that, I've actually laid all of this out for you sequentially, logically, readably in my book, The Apocalypse Code, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
Hank Hanegraaff's latest book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, is the third volume in a trilogy dealing with the three great apologetic issues, origins, resurrection, and the reliability of Scripture. In the first book, The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution, Hank shows that naturalistic evolution is much more than a theory about man's origins. It is a comprehensive worldview that determines how you live your life. In Resurrection, he demonstrates that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the capstone in the arch of Christianity and the hope of the believer. Without resurrection, there would be no Christianity. Now, in Has God Spoken, Hank validates the supreme authority of sacred scripture. Through memorable acronyms, he refutes modern skeptics and equips you with the assurance that God has indeed spoken. You can order this trilogy in a special package from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or order online from our website at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff will be back in a moment.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
A 2002 survey revealed that only 52% of evangelicals hold to the doctrine of original sin. Denying or misunderstanding this fundamental doctrine not only distorts our understanding of reality, it has grave implications for other Christian doctrines. Clay Jones tackles this sobering doctrine in his article, Original Sin, Its Importance and Fairness. Other topics include the Effective Evangelism article, Apologetics Through Internet Videography by James Patrick Holding, a summary critique of Bart Ehrman's book, Forged, by Daniel B. Wallace. Hank Hanegraaff answers the question, did God create everything out of nothing? In the popular Ask Hank column.
Call CRI and start your subscription today. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI.
or go online to equip.org. A year ago at this time, CRI was submerged in an ocean of operational debt that forced us to pull back on some of our broadcasting stations, losing our ability to reach thousands of people with the truth. But God miraculously answered our prayers, completely erasing the anchor of debt through generous friends like you. Now, we're asking you to help us take the second vitally important step of reclaiming the land. Will you be a part of a veritable army of thousands that cumulatively can provide $500,000 by December 31st to reestablish our ministry on those stations? Please give as the Lord leads you so we can not only reclaim stations we had to abandon, but go on to new stations touching thousands who have never heard the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Donate by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and thank you so much for all of those who stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. 2012 is our year of reclaiming the land, recapturing stations that we have been off of for some time, and reaching thousands, even millions more people with the liberating truth of the gospel. Equipping people to use their well-reasoned answers, to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them, with gentleness and with respect. Again, it's not to win an argument. It is to win a person. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Henry in Decatur, Illinois. Hi, Henry.
Hello, Hank.
How are you?
You know, it's an honor to speak with you here this evening.
Well, likewise. I'm glad to talk to you as well.
My question concerns Mark 1 and 23.
Uh-huh.
Could an individual, not a Christian, be possessed by some type of unclean spirit or demon or anything like that today?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we give ourselves over to. If we don't give ourselves over to our Father in heaven, we give ourselves over to our father, who is the devil, who was a liar and a deceiver from the beginning. So we only have two choices. Either we belong to God or we belong to Satan. And therefore, in a Christian worldview, a Christian cannot be demon-possessed, but unbelievers certainly can be possessed and continuously give themselves over more and more to the faculties and the functions of Satan in this world. And that's why it's so important to be one who is a bearer of truth, so we can reach those who are now mired not only in sin, but in the world, the flesh, and the devil that promotes sin in our life.
Okay, you know, I'm an average reader of the Word of God, and you know, I was under the, from my reading, you know, I thought it was just being, well, just because of our fallen nature and the world system. Is that the same as being possessed by?
In some sense, it is. It's not our place to try to figure out whether it is the world, the flesh, or the devil. What our commission is to put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against the principalities and powers of darkness, and so that we can rescue those who are stuck in the kingdom of evil and bring them into the kingdom of light. I've written about this in a book called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Ellen next, Salt Lake City, Utah, listening on KUTR. Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I was wondering if I could get some insight from you and some of your knowledge in regards to William Branham. I have a kind of, I don't have close ties, but I have a daughter who is involved with that Christian belief system. So I'm wondering if you have any input for me.
Well, it's not a Christian belief system, actually. It's a person that masqueraded many years ago under the guise of Christianity, but he denied essential Christian doctrines such as the Trinity. And he said on May 7, 1946, that a 200-pound angel with shoulder-length hair and a dark complexion appeared to him in a secret cave and told him that if he would be sincere, that he would be able to heal everything from cancer to every disease that you can imagine. He would detect those diseases through vibrations in his left hand. And in 1963, he said that he had come in the spirit of Elijah to warn people to flee their dead churches and denominations and pledge their loyalty to him as the prophet of the last days. And he came to a point of fancying himself as the angel to the end-time church of Laodicea and proclaimed that in 1977, all denominations would be consumed by the World Council of Churches under the control of the Roman Catholics, and that the rapture would take place and that the world would be destroyed. So not only did he deny essential Christian doctrines, but he was continuously making false prophecies. And therefore, he's not a legitimate Christian teacher, never was, and certainly after he died, he's not someone that we should read or respect as a Christian teacher.
So are you familiar with the terms in which the people who believe in his teachings call themselves either Bible believers or in the message?
I do, and I've written about this in a book called Counterfeit Revival, Looking for God in All the Wrong Places. So I spend some time on William Branham and his false teachings there.
Okay. Yeah, I just was curious because I actually had a daughter who met a young boy online and went off with the family, and that was 6 years ago. And all of the fathers and grandfathers are pastors, and that's their belief system. And so I just kind of tried to stay in prayer over it and just was wondering what your input was. I heard you on the show talking to someone about Perry Stone and some other ministry, so I was curious as to what your thought process was. And so what did you say the name of the book was again?
It's called Counterfeit Revival, Looking for God in All the Wrong Places.
Okay.
Is the subtitle, yeah.
Great.
Okay?
Thanks so much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Patty in Blaine, Washington, listening on KERI. Hi, Patty.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Not bad. I have a question. I'm not sure where it is, the scripture. It says, the dead know nothing. Does this indicate soul sleep?
No, it doesn't. You can't take Ecclesiastes out of context to mean that. Death can refer to three things biblically. It can refer to the separation of spirit and body, in other words, physical death. It can also refer to our fallen state in Adam. We're dead in trespasses and sin, as delineated by Paul in Ephesians chapter 2. That's spiritual death. And also, it can refer to ultimate judgment. So, words and phrases in the Bible are not univocal, they're equivocal. They take on the meaning that the context allows them to have. In fact, sleep is often used as a metaphor for death in the scripture. Lazarus was dead according to the scripture. If you read John chapter 11, Jesus says he had fallen asleep. But again, he's talking about having died. Lazarus had died. And the idea of soul sleep is that after the death of the body, the human soul can no longer function without the body. In a biblical worldview, we believe that absent from the body, you can still function. The spirit does not have awareness. It doesn't have location in space, but it does have awareness. And therefore, Jesus could say to the thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Or Stephen could say, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Moses could appear on the Mount of Transfiguration with Elijah. The martyred saints in Revelation chapter 6, their souls can cry out, "How long, Lord?" And Paul can say, and I think this is a very poignant example in Philippians 1, where he says, "I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is much better." Why? Because home in the body means absent from the Lord. Absent from the body means to be at home with the Lord. Now, that's not the ultimate. The ultimate will come when the soul returns to the body at the end of time, when Jesus appears a second time.
So are they aware like we're aware?
Well, they're aware. They're in conscious relationship with the Lord. And you see that described by Jesus himself in Luke chapter 16, where Lazarus, where there's a rich man and a beggar who's lying by his gate, and that beggar ends up in Abraham's bosom or in paradise. So he's in bliss while the rich man is in torment. So Jesus lays that out very clearly as well.
Okay. That helps. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to James in Fresno, California, listening on KCIV. Hi, James.
How you doing, Hank?
I'm good. How are you?
Thank you, sir. I'm doing okay. Hank, my question was in regards to, you know, I heard you talking a little while ago about demonism and, you know, the spirits and stuff. And I don't know if you're familiar with a book by Cindy Trim called The Rules of Engagement.
I haven't read that book, no.
My question is, personally myself, I don't believe that you can be someone can touch you and have a spirit put into you, you know. And I don't know whether I'm wrong or I think I'm right, but, you know.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, this is superstition, and it's unfortunate that too much of the church buys into this kind of sensationalism, sophistry, selling, and script torture. You're absolutely right. I mean, this is not about a magic worldview and someone can touch you and suddenly you have a demon. If you give yourself over to the powers of darkness, it is by your own volition, by your own will.
Right, right. And that's pretty much what I was thinking. You know, I because of the faith that I have in the Lord, you know, my strength overcomes everything, you know.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate that we have a fascination with demons in the culture at large, and that has now led to a robust deliverance movement within evangelicalism. And you're hard-pressed to come up with a better scheme, because whatever the problem is, whether it's depression, anxiety, substance addiction, even a runaway sexual appetite, there are these exorcism ministries today that will happily claim expertise for dealing with the problem, and they give you a bonus. It's a value added. And that bonus is you are not morally responsible for the most part. Indwelling demons are responsible, and getting rid of them is the key to moral and psychological redemption. So you could say the devil made me do it. You can go out and have an affair, and you can say, well, it wasn't me, it was the devil. The devil made me do it. So it's a terrible view of spiritual warfare. In fact, I was so exercised over this at one point that I sat down and wrote the covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil, to give you the principles of spiritual warfare from a biblical perspective.
Okay. I pretty much understand what you're saying, and I appreciate your clarifying that for me.
Well, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. As we go to break, do remember once again that we write about these subjects. And one of the places we write about these subjects is the Christian Research Journal. It is an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. You've heard a lot of questions on today's broadcast about spiritual warfare. Well, we've tackled it head on in the Christian Research Journal. Also, my book, The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil, it's an important book. If you put on the full armor of God, you are invincible in spiritual warfare. If you do not, you're a guaranteed casualty. Those resources available when you check them out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Be right back with more answers to your questions.
The Christian Research Institute is a ministry dedicated to defending the historic Christian faith through the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and our website, equip.org. But to continue this vital mission, we depend on your faithful, prayerful support. If you see the life-changing impact this ministry is having, please join with us on a consistent monthly basis so that we can continue to equip believers with the tools to stand firm in their faith and reach around the world with the transforming power of the gospel. To partner with us on a monthly basis, call 888-7000-274 or go online to equip.org.
Stay tuned. The Bible Answer Man will return in just a moment.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
In today's pop culture, Lady Gaga is an enigma that is hard to ignore. With her outrageous, ever-changing persona, what makes her obscene brand of art so popular? Mark Sayer's article, A World of Gaga, takes an unveiled look at this pop icon. Jerry Jarman contrasts the biblical model of forgiveness with that of popular psychology in his article, Forgiveness in the Bible and in Pop Psychology, Two Conflicting Views. Other topics include Arthur Hunt's Marshall McLuhan, What Were You Doing?, Coiner of the Global Village Turns 100, and Enlightenment Humanism, Our Savior from Violence by Angus Manoj, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. At the Christian Research Institute, we are deeply grateful for those who uphold us in prayer and give faithfully. But right now, with the end of our fiscal year looming just around the corner, we are facing a critical financial shortfall of $350,000. So we're asking you to send your best possible gift, postmarked by June 30th. In a time of complacency and compromise when many churches lack discernment, the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast will not flinch. Rather, we will stand because truth matters. To stand with us in the battle for truth and help us meet our crucial June 30th deadline, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or donate online at equip.org. That's equip.org. At a time when even Christian young people are hooking up, traditional ways of teaching biblical morality are no longer effective. Young people don't need simple rules. They need reasons to make sense of the rules. That is, they need to be taught the worldview rationale for biblical morality. In the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, award-winning author Nancy Piercy provides just the needed worldview rationale for biblical morality in her article, Sex, Lies, and Secularism. To start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And again, we spent a lot of time today talking about our adversary, the devil. And there are two equal and opposite errors that you can make. The one is to overestimate his power. He can't bite you. He can't throw you. But he can tempt you. He does, as it were, sit on your shoulder and whisper into your ear. The whisper cannot be heard with the physical ear, but it can penetrate the ear of the mind. In fact, Satan is called the god of this age, the prince of this world. Satan is not God's equal, but according to the Bible, Satan is a finite, created being. He was the first sinner, and one day he will be cast into the lake of burning sulfur for all eternity. and therefore Christians need not fear the God of this age, for the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Satan's name literally means adversary. He is the God of this age in that he is the supreme exemplar of evil. In the words of Jesus Christ, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to truth. There was no truth in him. When he lies, said Jesus, he speaks his native tongue, for he is a liar. He is the father of lies. Indeed, all the sin of the world is patterned after Satan. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, said Jesus, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. It is he who leads the whole world astray. Satan is the de facto ruler of all who willingly subject themselves to his masterful deceit. If we do not belong to the God of the ages, then, as I said earlier in the broadcast, we are of Satan, the God of this age. Spiritual warfare is waged against the adversary of your soul. And that's why it is so important for you to learn to put on the covering so that you are invincible in spiritual warfare. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Stephanie in Omaha, Nebraska next, listening on KLCV. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate you and your ministry.
Thank you.
I wanted to know if you know anything about the ministry of Jettison Franklin.
I'm not Jensen? Saying his name. Yes.
Uh-huh. Is he a Word of Faith preacher?
He has a lot of the trappings of Word of Faith theology, and he's very unreliable in his way of interpreting the Bible. And this is a hermeneutical issue, which is to say the art and science of biblical interpretation. We as Christians, and particularly Christian leaders, are called to learn to mine the Bible for all its wealth. We're called to read the Bible for all its worth. And that is both an art and a science. It's a science in that rules apply, and it's an art in that the more you apply the rules, the better you get at it. And therefore, I think we do well to listen to reliable teachers, and certainly in an age in which there's so much nonsense being circulated in the name of Christianity, we have to hone our discernment skills, become so familiar with the truth that when counterfeits loom on the horizon, we know it instantaneously.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. There's a lot I wanted to say in this segment of the broadcast. One is that January 13 through 16, I want to be training students to think and to dream and to lead through a comprehensive, practical leadership skills, state-of-the-art student leadership university. Your student will be equipped to lead from a biblical perspective with skills that will help them more confidently face the future. So you can join me for this Student Leadership University. We're going to be talking about it in the beginning of 2012. For more information, to register your student or to register yourself, you can come. I'll address you as well. You can go to studentleadership.net, or you can just check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Also, want to mention that as you plan your year-end gifts, and some people are procrastinators, I know that with all I have to do, oftentimes I procrastinate as well, but giving appreciated securities can help CRI's ministry and yet provide you with outstanding tax savings. So to donate stocks, bonds, or mutual funds, please call us at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Also, you can give non-cash gifts, everything from iPads to RVs. You can, again, call 888-7000-CRI. It's a great way to give to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. But one of our foundational groups, and I want to spend just a moment with this, is our Bible Answer Man support team. This really, if you think about it, is the bedrock of our ministry. These are people who support the ministry on a regular, monthly basis with their gifts. And right now, as I speak, we need many of you to join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. When you do, as my way of saying thank you, I'll send you Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's Divine Inspiration. It's not only proof of the Bible's divine inspiration, but it's memorable proof of the Bible's divine inspiration. Why is that so important? Well, we appeal to the Bible as our authority, but Mormons do too. They appeal to the Book of Mormon. Who's right? Is the Book of Mormon the most correct of any book on earth? Or are the Muslims correct in saying that the Quran is the only uncorrupted revelation? How do you know that you can trust the Bible? With the Bible under attack, I give you memorable proofs so that you, with your children, with your family member, with your friends, you can communicate that the Bible is a reliable authority. It is the North Star by which you can set the course of your life. Again, when you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, I'll give you a personalized copy of Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's Divine Inspiration. And for those that give $100 or more to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, I will personalize a copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, also available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. In fact, if you have it, you can ask for another book personalized, but this is a wonderful way to give to the ministry and to be equipped at the same time. And then also you can give a gift of the Christian Research Journal any time of the year. Certainly we talk about it at Christmas, but any time of the year you can give a gift subscription. And when you do, it's a gift that keeps on giving, making a difference for time and for eternity, because this is an award-winning magazine that will equip you. It deals with the cutting current issues that are on the horizon for people. We are on the vanguard of checking this out, and the information that you get is qualified. You can trust it. It has the good housekeeping seal of approval, if you will. You can trust the information. It's vetted. And that's so important because we live in an age in which internet lies travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on. And then finally, I want to mention this, and please tune in with both ears. Listen carefully to what I'm saying here. A year ago, I sat in the same chair, and I talked about being submerged in an ocean of operational debt. And I have to confess to you, to pay off that debt by the end of last year, 2010, seemed realistically impossible. But we prayed. We do believe that prayer is firing the winning shot. And generous friends like you stood and were counted. And as a result, God miraculously answered our prayers through people like you, completely erasing the anchor of debt. And now, as I speak to you today, I'm asking you to help us take a second vitally important step. It's a step that might, well, best be referred to as reclaiming the land. God's giving us an opportunity. It is an opportunity to re-engage the very ministry outreaches that were suspended due to past economic realities. And we no longer have to drag that anchor of debt. It's gone. And as I'm sure you might realize, expanded ministry comes at a cost. To re-establish our ministry on stations around the country, indeed around the world, will cost $1 million over and above our regular ministry income. And therefore, as I look at that goal, it is, humanly speaking, impossible. But I've already written to a number of ministry friends who are in a position to provide at least half of that. And now I'm talking to you and asking you to be part and parcel of providing the other part. It's a matter of many people giving generously. Some can give $15, some can give $50, some can give $100, some can give more. But if you use your resources in this way, you're not going to be giving to us, but rather through us, touching the lives of people in a dramatic way for time and for eternity. The gospel's free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. And so we're appealing to you this month to do just that. A veritable army of thousands can cumulatively provide the resources we need. Please postmark your gift, December 31, so we can begin the new year prepared to reclaim the land for the truth of Christ. You can be part of an exciting move at the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your gift today. Again, no matter what amount, together with many people, we can reach our goal. Imagine what we can do, how many people we can reach with every gift. We can do more than tread water. We can etch our mark on the world today. So once again, together, you and I stand on the verge of taking the all-important truths of God's Word to more people than ever before, just when those truths are under heaviest attack. But we must move boldly if we're going to touch the lives of literally millions of souls in the next year. Every gift matters. Again, send yours by December 31st. I mean, you can count the time in hours. We only have a little time left to reclaim the land for unprecedented ministry in 2012 and beyond. And when I consider what God has already done, I know we can meet this goal as well if everyone's heart is moved to do what they are able. Again, could you be one of those gifts that puts us over the top? Please send your gift today. You can call us as well. If you send it, it's Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And if you call us, it's 888-7000-CRI. And you can also give in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Again, thank you so much for your prayers, your support. We do what we do because truth matters. We're making a difference. But again, it's because you're part of the team. We can't do it without you. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll see you next time with more of the show.
Before we leave the air, write down this number, 888-7000-CRI. That's CRI's resource line. Number again is 888-7000-CRI. Another way to go is to visit our website. Here's the address. It's equip.org. There, you'll find books, videos, DVDs, and commentaries on a multitude of topics. It's all available from one website, www.equip.org. And of course, you're welcome to write to us at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. At the Christian Research Institute, we are deeply grateful for those who uphold us in prayer and give faithfully. But right now, with the end of our fiscal year looming just around the corner, we are facing a critical financial shortfall of $350,000. So we're asking you to send your best possible gift, postmarked by June 30th. In a time of complacency and compromise when many churches lack discernment, the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast will not flinch. Rather, we will stand because truth matters. To stand with us in the battle for truth and help us meet our crucial June 30th deadline, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or donate online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking.
It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.